garti ba'echar adoto. Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the word garti is the same letters as taryag. He's telling the brother the taryag mitzvah shamarti. How is this physically possible? If a person lives in chutz l'aretz, he can't fulfill any of the mitzvahs hakliyos l'aretz. So what does he mean that he fulfilled all the taryag mitzvahs? What does the Medrash mean? So the Prima Godim writes in his sefer Tevas Goyma. Prima Godim has a sefer on Chumash, and every parsha he has a minimum of three paragraphs. One is on Gemara, one is on Medrash, and one is on Agoda. Exactly what's the difference between Medrash and Agoda, I'm not sure. But that's the Rashi Tevas Goyma, Gimel, Tevas Goyma, Gimel, Mem Aleph is Gemara, Medrash, Agoda. The Poskim always quote from this, Kivega and others, often quote from this Prima Godim sefer Tevas Goyma. On this pasuk, he says that what it means is that he learned the dinim. If you learn the dinim, that you all the mitzvahs have different chalokim to them. You have machshava, dibur, and maisa. So you have to learn the dinim, and you have to try to understand what's the moral, ethical, or religious principle that the mitzvah is trying to teach us, and then you have to actually do the mitzvah b'poel mamish. So even in those mitzvahs, but if you don't have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah in actuality, because there are some mitzvahs that are only for Kohanim and not for Yisraelim, and some mitzvahs only for Yisraelim and not for Kohanim, only for the Melech and only for the Tzibah, they're different mitzvahs. It's impossible for any person, even if he lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's impossible for anybody to fulfill all the 613 mitzvahs. So one suggestion the Achronim give is that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh. If I'll do my mitzvahs and he'll do his mitzvahs and the other will do his mitzvahs, before you perform a mitzvah, you say, you're doing this b'shem kol Yisrael. That's in the Chassidish and Nusach. You say b'shem Yichud. So you say doing it b'shem kol Yisrael on behalf of the whole Jewish nation. Yeah, but that's nicha if there are other Jews who are doing the other mitzvahs. But there's nobody else doing any other mitzvahs. So the mafarshim is saying, look, at least you learn. So you learn the dinim of the mitzvah and you try to figure out what more ethical or religious lesson is the mitzvah teaching us. Even if before mamash you don't perform the mitzvah. But to the best of one's ability, one observes all of the taryag mitzvahs. Machshav and dibur, even if you don't do the mice. That's what some suggest. Others suggest that maybe he fulfilled some of those mitzvahs which are shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulam. That's how the later Sfarim suggest. There are several mitzvahs which are singled out by the Talmud, by the Midrashim, that are shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. So one of those mitzvahs that are shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs is Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. That he wasn't able to fulfill. He was living in chutz l'aretz for 22 years. But the other mitzvahs, tzitzis is shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulam. Other mitzvahs are considered shkulas keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulam. The pasuk says that he was very nervous on this occasion. Vayira yankev yoyed vayetzalo. He was very nervous. What was he afraid of? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he was afraid. He was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to be with him. He had a promise from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what was he afraid of? If the Ribbono Shel Olam promised me, would I be nervous? Maybe. So the question is, why was Yankov Avinu nervous? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Shem nislach lachti bechet. Maybe I sinned, and maybe because of the fact that I sinned, maybe I don't deserve that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill the promise any longer. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. In the Pirush of Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi, on this, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi has a running commentary on Pirush Rashi al HaTorah. The Sifsa Chachamim always quotes. So the Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrachi and others are bothered with the Kasha. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah quotes a Gemara Masechah Shabbos that there's a difference between a Nevuah L'Toivo as opposed to a Nevuah L'Roah. And the Nevuah L'Toivo will always be fulfilled, even if the circumstances change later on, even if the person sins. If the Navi promises something L'Toivo, so it's going to be fulfilled. And the Nevuah L'Roah will not necessarily always be fulfilled. If the person does tshuva, like Yonah Navi gives a message to the people in Nineveh, another 40 days the city will be overturned, and then they all did tshuva, and the city was not destroyed. And that's why he didn't want a Rashi on his Pirush on Yonah, quotes from the Medrash, that's why he didn't want to deliver the Nevuah, because he figured that they're probably going to do tshuva. They're not like the Jews, that you scream your heart out and they don't do tshuva. These guys, you tell them the city's going to be destroyed, they're going to do tshuva. And it's going to show, it's going to reflect badly on the Jewish people, that the Umas Olam do tshuva and the Jews don't. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. That's why Yonah HaNavi didn't want to deliver the prophecy in the first place. He figured they're probably going to do tshuva, and the prophecy will not be fulfilled. So Nevuah L'Ruah is always assumed that it's ala tanai, unless they do tshuva. Nevuah L'Tayvah is absolute. So how can it be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov Avinu, so what was he worried about? Shemon is lachlachti bechet. So some of the Meforshim explain that if you look in the Rambam, if you adrab, you look in the Rambam, because he said out there, you see that the kasha is not a kasha. The Rambam explains why is it. Rabbi Tzvachana has this in the Hagdama to one of the Svarim, but other Svarim write the same as well. The Rambam in Yesed out there explains why is that the case. That a Nevuah L'Tayvah is always going to be absolutely fulfilled, and it's not ala tanai, because the Torah tells us that there's an institution of Navi Asheker. If a Navi tells you something, he wants to establish himself as a Navi, so he prophesies that something's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. So then it says in the Chumash, if it doesn't happen, so that's a clear indication that he's a Navi Asheker, and he deserves an Einish Misa. Navi Asheker is Misa. So the Rambam quotes in the Gemara, how do you know that the Navi Asheker told a lie? Maybe the Nevuah was ala tanai, and because the circumstances changed, the Navi can always dray out, he can dray his way out of it later on and say, the circumstances changed, the people did Aveira, so that's why the promise L'Tayvah wasn't fulfilled. So that's what the Rambam says. So you'll never be able to test the Navi, whether he's a Navi Asheker or not. It says in the Chumash, if the Yosem Ochis doesn't come true, then the Yodua, that is a Navi Asheker. How is it the Yodua? Every Nevuah is understood that it's only if the circumstances don't change. So that's what the Rambam understood from the Gemara. If a Navi is delivering a Nevuah to someone else, if it's a Nevuah L'Ruah, so you can't tell whether he's a Navi Asheker or not just because the Ruah doesn't occur, the Oynish doesn't occur. It's self understood that Nevuah L'Ruah is Allah tonight, but in Nevuah L'Tayvah, some Nevuah has to be believed tonight. So that's what the Gemara understands, and Nevuah L'Tayvah is always going to be believed tonight. But when is this? So the Achreinim say, when is this? Ma'medvam Amurim, if it's a Navi who's delivering a prophecy to somebody else. But here, it's not that a Navi told this to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu heard it directly from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the Nevuah L'Tayvah. So what? In order to be established as a Navi, a Shek and Navi, it's not a Shailav of someone being a Navi Ashek and Navi Ahemes. If one gets the Nevuah directly from the Rabbanu Shalom, even the Nevuah L'Tayvah is also only Allah tonight. The Nevuah L'Tayvah is always going to be absolute. If the Rabbanu Shalom gives a Nevuah to a Navi to deliver the prophecy to someone else, to someone other than himself, so then the Gemara understands it has to be absolute. It can't be that if everything is Allah tonight, Nevuah L'Ruah, Nevuah L'Tayvah, everything is Allah tonight, so then you can never check out to see whether the Navi is a Navi Shek and Navi Ahemes. But if the Nevuah is being directly delivered to Yaakov Avinu, so he knows that it's authentic, he knows it's a Nevuah. So it's self-understood that it's Allah Tanaish. And if Shemen is lachlachti bechet, it's goodbye Nevuah. So the promise L'Tayvah will not necessarily be fulfilled. That's why he was concerned. But you're a Yaakov V'yoy. He was very nervous. There is a Gemara in the end of Brachas, but the Gemara tells a story that one of the Rabbanim saw one of the Talmidim in Yeshiva was very nervous about something. So he said, Chato'at, he must be a sinner, because the Pasuk in Navi says, Pachadu b'tzion chato'im. Only the people who are sinners are nervous, because the people who are religious have bitochen in the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that whatever the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants in this world is going to happen. If he wants me to die, I'm going to die. If he wants me to live, I'm going to live. So I don't have to be afraid. What am I afraid? Maybe my time has come to die. So it's time to die. Goodbye. Say goodbye to everybody and die. What's you're afraid? Maybe it's not my time to die. Maybe I'm going to die because of some accident. There is no such thing. You don't have to worry. You're supposed to have bitochen. You're supposed to have emuna. Bitochen is when the emuna is lamaisa. Emuna is an abstract. We believe that God is in full control of the world, and nothing is going to happen against his wishes. And bitochen means that I lead my life in accordance with this abstract principle of emunah. The Chazon Ish has a little sefer called emunah bitochen. So he says, bitochen doesn't mean that everything is going to turn out well. A guy's dying from cancer, so you tell him, have bitochen, you're going to survive. Why is he necessarily going to survive? Most of the people who have cancer do not survive, depending on what stage they've reached. So bitachon does mean that everything is going to turn out well. Bitachon means you lead your life according to emuna, and the emuna is that God is in full control of the world, and nothing is going to happen against God's wishes. That people think that they're in control. It's not so. The Ribbono Shel Olam also has a day in running the world. So he is in full control. So that's what the Chacham tells his student, Chatoat, he must be a sinner, because what are you nervous about? The Pasuk says, Pachad Debetzion Chatoim, only the sinners are nervous. So then the Talmud says, but there is a Pasuk that says, Asher Yoda Mefache Talmud, is the praises of a person who's always worried, who's always concerned and always nervous. So the Rebbe said, that Pasuk means that a person should always be nervous. Maybe I'm not keeping the mitzvahs properly. He should always be testing himself and thinking, maybe he can improve, maybe he can, maybe he's violating averus and so on. But the person is not supposed to be worried if he really has emunah. So he's supposed to lead his life in accordance with the principles of emunah, and he shouldn't be concerned about the fact that maybe an accident will happen and so on. Shouldn't be concerned about that. So that's what some, I think the Sfasemis may quote this, interpretation of the pasuk. Vayira Yankev miyoid, vayetza loy. Yankev was very afraid, and then he was aggravated over the fact that he was afraid. He realized that he shouldn't have been afraid. Vayira Yankev miyoid, he was afraid. Then vayetza loy, he was aggravated why he was in such a state of mind. He shouldn't have been afraid. The way the Medrash goes, that Rashi quotes Vayira Yankev miyoid. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. He's nervous. Maybe he didn't fulfill the mitzvahs properly. Maybe he doesn't deserve the Hatzola anymore. But according to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, that he wasn't afraid about sins. He was just afraid about the encounter with the forthcoming encounter with his brother. So then the Sfasemis quotes such an interpretation after he was afraid. So Vayetzalo, he was aggravated over the fact that he was afraid. I don't know, after September 11th, a lot of businessmen stopped traveling in airplanes. I think I traveled more in the last year than in previous years. I don't know why should people be so afraid. I think the Jewish people are less afraid than the Ummah Sarim, because the Jews have been, I think so, the Jews have been suffering persecutions for the last 2,000 years. So this is the way we always live. Somehow the Ummah Sarim never, Americans never, Baruch Hashem, they never suffered anything like this. So they fall to pieces after September 11th. The whole country, a lot of people just went wild. They're so nervous. They're afraid to go on airplanes. The Pesukim say that when Yaakov Avinu was crossing over the river, so he took his wives and his belongings and his 11 children. So the Medrash is bothered with the problem. What do you mean? V'sachad asoy yilodov? He had 12 children already. He had 11 sons and he had one daughter, Dina. So what happened to the 12th child? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that he was hiding Dina. He was hiding out Dina. How did the Medrash know that Dina was the missing child? It just says there were 11 children. Maybe it was Reuven. Maybe it was Shimon. Maybe it was Levi. How'd they know? It doesn't say Achadasa Yiladov means his 11 sons as opposed to daughters. No, Yiladov means children. So how did they know to point the finger that it was Dina, that he hid out Dina? So there's a famous explanation that's given in the name of the Vilna Goyen. And then the Netziv has a different, totally different Mahalach, not like the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen quotes there are Midrashim that discuss why is it that later in history the Beis HaMikdash has built Bechelka Shel Binyamin. That's what Yankel Avinu said in the Tzavos in Parshas Vayechi. Before he dies, he gives the Tzavos. He says the Shechina will be Shoyre Bechelka Shel Binyamin. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Zeret HaBracha, also the Bracha for Binyamin, Bank Seif of Shochin, the Shechina should be Shoyre Bechelka Shel Binyamin. And the Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim was divided, half of Yerushalayim was Bechelka Shel Yehuda, and half of Yerushalayim was Bechelka Shel Binyamin. And the Mizbeach had to be built Davka Bechelka Shel Binyamin, and that's why part of the Mizbeach was missing. There was no Yisod on two sides of the Mizbeach, because even 1 inch of the Mizbeach cannot be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. It has to all be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. So the Pesukim say like that. That's what Yaakov Avinu said before he passed away, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said before he passed away. That's the din, that the Shechina has to be, and the Mizbeach has to be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. But why was that so? The Midrashim asks, why was Binyamin Zeicher to be the Ush Pizach on the Shechina, that he should be the host and the guest should be the Shekhinah visiting in his Chelka Shel Binyamin. So one of the official answers that's given by the Medrash Rabbah is that when they all met up with Esav and everybody was bowing down, Binyamin never bowed down because he wasn't born yet. Binyamin didn't bow. There's another Medrash that says Binyamin was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Sabra, and the others were born in Chutz Lord. And the Velt says that these two are the same thing. The Sabras don't bow down. The Bnei Chutz Lorets, they're always very, the Jews in Chutz Lorets are always very respectful to the Goyish government, and even when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they're also very respectful to the United Nations and to America. And the Sabras are very independent. They don't bow down to anybody. Whoever was born in Eretz Yisrael is not going to bow down, and it's the Hava Hatalia. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was built, the Chelka Shel Binyamin. So, whatever, this is the two explanations that are given by the Medrash. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. How do you know? How did the Medrash know that Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow down? But the Pasuk says that there were only 11 children and one was not there. So maybe the one who wasn't there was Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So maybe there were two sons who didn't bow down. So the answer is no, Dina was the one who was missing. All the sons did bow down to Esav. Dina was missing the daughter. The daughter didn't get any chelik in Eretz Yisrael. There is no Shevet Dina. So that's the Medrash. The Chazal had a tradition that the Mizbeach was built the Chelka Shel Binyamin. He was the only one of the Shvatim who got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael who didn't bow down to Esav. All the others were the 11 sons who did bow down. The one who wasn't present at the time was the daughter Dina. That's what's famous in the name of the Vilna Gaon. That was the tradition that Chazal had, that it was Dina who was missing from the, she was the 12th child who was not there. And the Netziv has a different suggestion, not based on that tradition. The Netziv says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yankov Avinu on this occasion, Goya Kagoyim Yemi Mekko U'Melochim Mechalotzecho Yeitzeyu. So what is that referring to? Goya Kagoyim Yemi Mekko. So the Chazal, Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara that refers to each one of the Shvatim is called Goy. Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Each one of the Shvatim is called Goy and called Kohol. So the question, Yankov Avinu started to wonder, what do you mean? But he only had one more Shevet. He only had Binyamin afterwards. So he understood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Goy, a Shevet, Kahal Goy Miyem Mekka. One Shevet is going to be born yet, and another Shevet. So how come it says Goy, Kahal Goy, what kind of a Lashon is that? So he understood that one of the Shvatim is going to split into two. So that's what he gave that blessing to, Yosef. He said, you should be split into two, Menashe Ephraim, I consider two different Shvatim. Kiruvim Mishimin Yehuli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I'm going to have one more Shevet that's going to be Binyamin, was born afterwards, and he told me another Shevet is going to split, so I give you that blessing that Shevet Yosef should be Menashe Mephraim, Kiruvim Mishimin Yehuli, just like Kiruvim Mishimin are two Shvatim, so Menashe Mephraim should be two Shvatim. So this Pasuk, Goli Kagoyim Yemi Mekko, is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, that each one of the Shvatim is called a Goy, it's called a Kohol. The Gemara has a Machlekes Hatanoim and the Mishnayis in Hoirius regarding the din of Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. We spoke about it the other day. Wrong shiur. Forgot it. I just spoke about it recently in one of the shiur. The din is that there's a din of Parhalam Davashel Tzibur, that if the Bez Nagodol paskins that you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos, and the Rav HaTzibur turns on lights on Shabbos, listening to the Bez Nagodol, Chief Rabbin, it said it's Mutter, it's Mutter. Well, you have to be Machma. And then after a couple of years, they realize they made a mistake and they pass them that it's also to turn on the lights. No one should turn on the lights. So all the people who turn on the lights are in violation of Chilul Shabbos. Each one has to bring a Korban Chatos. If the Bez Nagodol decides that that's an Issa Deraisa, so the din is yes, each person has to bring a Korban Chatos. Unless Rav HaTzibur violated this Aveira based on the Psaka, the Bez Nagodol, then the Bez Nagodol brings one Chatos, Parhal and Dovashal Tzibur, and then Yechidim Amiskaper, the Yotzi with that. If Miut HaTzibur violates the Aver, and the Bez Nagodol is not going to bring a Parhal and Dovashal Tzibur, so there's a Machlek to Satanan. We pass in Yochus Shosabai Roz Bez and Ischaif Chatos. It does bring a Chatos. The only time the Yechidim don't bring a Chatos is if the Rav HaTzibur violated the Aver in such a way that the Bez Nagodol has to bring a Parhal and Dovashal Tzibur, so then the Yechidim Amiskaper with that Chatos HaTzibur. So the Mishnah has a Machlek to Satanayim. In Hoirius, there's an institution of Sanhedrin Shal Shevet. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Shoftim Shatatit Lacha Lishvatecha. It says, Bechol Sharecha Lishvatecha. Every Shevet should have its own Beis Din. What do you mean every city has its own Beis Din? There's only 12 Bati Dinim in the Shvatim. There are hundreds and thousands of Bati Dinim. Every city has its own Beis Din. So the Gemara says that's a Beis Din L'chol ear of the ear, and there's another Din Beis Din L'chol Shevet V'Shevet. What does that mean? So Taisus says in Sanhedrin in the first paragraph, Beis Din L'chol Shevet V'Shevet means if you have a city that's divided in half, like Yerushalayim, half is Shevet Yehuda and half is Shevet Binyamin, so even if one Beis Din would have been sufficient, it happens that Yerushalayim is gigantic, they need more than one Beis Din, but even if one Beis Din would be sufficient, the din would require two. You need one Beis Din for the Chelka Shel Ha'ir, that's the Shevet Yehuda, and another Beis Din for the Chelka Shaliyah, that's the Shevet Binyamin. That's what Tosfos writes. And the Ramban HaChumash doesn't think that that's the Pshat. Ramban HaChumash says, no, every city has to have its own Beis Din, Sanhedrin 23. And every Shevet has to have the Beis Din HaGadol Shel Osa HaShevet. And he says, I'm not making it up, it's enough in a Mishnah, the first parak in Hayriyas, where there's a Machloikas HaTanayim, whether the institution of Parhelem Dovashol Tzibur, that if the Rei Batzibur violated the Aver based on the Pesach of Beis Din HaGadol, Beis Din HaGadol brings this Korban Parhelem Dovashol Tzibur and the Yechidim HaMiskaper, so there's a Machloikas whether that only applies to the Beis Din HaGadol, should be Yerushalayim, should be Lishkas HaGozes, or applies for the Beis Din shall call Shevet v'Shevet, considering that every Shevet dik recall. Shevet echad dik recall, as our Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yankim Avina na goya kal goyim yemi meko, umalochim mechal atzecha yetzei. So he told him he's going to develop into another, going to have another baby, Binyamin, going to be another Shevet, and another Shevet is going to split into two. Kahal goyim yemi meko. One Shevet Yosef is going to split into two, Menashe v'Ephraim. So you see that every Shevet is called kohol and goy. So maybe the din of Parhal Mdova Shil Tzibah that says V'nel Mdova Meyeni HaKohol, maybe that's fulfilled by the Sanhedri G'dayla Shal Kol Shevet V'Shevet. So that's a Machloikas HaTanoim. Ramban just writes he's not sure what the constitution of that Beis Din HaGadol Shel HaShevet should be. Is it a Beis Din of 23 or is it a Beis Din of 71? Maybe it has to be 23 because Beis Din HaGadol of 71 is only in Yerushalayim. I remember when we were learning this, Rav Soloveitchik thought he thought that it should be 71. Why should they be a higher authority than the other Bati Dinim that are 23? But that's what the Ramban is not sure. Because on the other hand, the Beis Din HaGadol should be Shalayim 71. So how can you have others who are 71? So why are they higher if they're all 71? Okay. So that's a Shaila. So there's a Rav Elbel Soloveitchik points out there is a Pirush HaRaivit on Toras Kohanim. That is a fact. You don't need Rav Elbel Soloveitchik to point that out. There is a Pirush HaRaivit on Toras Kohanim. That's a statement. And then Rav Elbel Soloveitchik points out the following Pirush HaRaivit, that there is a pasuk in Vayikra where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish nation will never be wiped out. So that promise, L'chera, goes on the whole Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a nation. So the Raivit writes, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, each one of the 12 Shvatim is a goy, is a kohol, Shevet Echad Ikri Kol. So the promise that Klal Yisrael would never disappear applies to each one of the Shvatim individually. That's the Gemara has such a lashon in Perek Yesh Nechum. The Gemara is working out Dinim of Yerusha. If somebody dies, he has sons and daughters, so the sons get. If it has no sons, so the daughters get. If it has no sons, no daughters, so the brothers, the sisters, that. The Gemara works out someone's going to get. The Gemara says, and what's going to happen if the whole Shevet is wiped out? Why don't you give a mashal that the property goes be Yerusha to all of the other Shvatim? So the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lord called the Shift in Israel. That'll never happen. An entire Shevet will never be wiped out. We don't know exactly who belongs to which Shevet. We only know Shevet Levi. The Kohanim and the Levim are from Shevet Levi. We don't know who's from Shevet Reuben, Shimon, Issachar, Zvulun. We don't know who's who. But the Gemara says we have a tradition that no Shevet can possibly be wiped out entirely. Even the Aseres HaShvatim will disappear. The majority of the Aseres HaShvatim disappeared. But there are certainly thousands of people who remain behind from the Aseres HaShvatim. So no one Shevet was ever wiped out. So the Raivid writes in his Pirush on the Toras Kohanim that that Haftocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that the nation of the Jewish people will never be wiped out, that applies to each and every individual Shevet in Klal Yisrael because Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. So the Netziv writes in his commentary on Chumash something, he always has something very original. He says, how did the Tanoim understand, why did they understand that it was Dina who wasn't there? When they were taking attendance of Asachar Osayilodov, the 11 children who were there were the sons, and the daughter was not there. So he says, Pashit, because each one of the Shvatim has a promise, they won't be wiped out. So Yaakov Avinu is going back and forth carrying the valises here, transporting everybody. So the Shaila is, he's going to leave the children over there and he's going to go to the other side of the river to bring the valises. So who's going to watch after the children? What's going to happen if Esav is going to start up? So he says he wasn't worried. He had a tradition, no one of the children would die out. Gemiri, the Lord called a shift in Yisrael. On Dina, there was no promise. Dina is not a shevet. Dina, there was no promise that she's not going to be wiped out. So Dina, he had to hide. He had to make sure that he's protecting Dina all along. Each one of the shvatim wasn't afraid that anything was going to happen. That's not the way it sounds from the Chumash. You get the impression he was afraid. He's afraid he's going to kill all the children. He's afraid he's going to kill everybody. I don't know. That's at this an original twist that the Netziv has. Huh? Yeah, I think they were all too young. I don't think anybody was married yet. I don't know. That's the Netziv suggestion. The Gemara in Saita has a whole sugya of chanifa l'rishoyim, that you're not permitted to pat a rosh on the back and to imply as if he's a wonderful guy, that everything is marvelous that he does, and we have no tainus against him. It's in a certain sense a violation of lifnei v'lesitei mirshom. You pat the guy on the back, you know he's married to a non-Jewish person, he doesn't keep Shabbos or Kashrus, he doesn't observe any mitzvah, doesn't come to shul. And you treat him the same as everybody else. So you imply as if he doesn't have to improve his ways. Everything is fine and dandy the way it is. So in a certain sense, that's a violation of lifnei v'lesitei mirshom. So the Gemara considers this a serious avera. Chanifa l'rishoyim. There's nothing wrong with it being friendly with him, but he has to know that you don't approve of his way of life. That he's supposed to keep Torah mitzvahs. Yeah, you're not mechuyev to bop him over the head, but it's not proper to just to be. There was a certain yeshiva in the Midwest where the main supporter was a Jew who was married to a non-Jewish woman. So they once had a fundraising Malava Malka for this yeshiva. So the non-Jewish wife got up and she said she donates $5,000 from her own money in honor of her husband's religion. So she's not Jewish, in honor of her husband's religion. The Baruch Hashem that yeshiva closed down already. but Ramosha Feinstein has in his tshuvas, he said this, he considers this a major problem. All the yeshivas, or almost all the yeshivas, honor non-observant Jews, very non-observant Jews, and they just pat them on the back and they say what marvelous actions the person is doing, supporting the state of Israel, supporting this yeshiva, and supporting all the Jewish causes. What do you mean? Wonderful things. But he's married to a shiksa. What do you mean? He never comes to shul. He never keeps any mitzvahs. His business is an avera business. He sells non-kosher. He sells basa b'chola or whatever. He does averas all day and all night. So what do you mean? Just pat him on the back. So that's Rav Moshe Feinstein says that's a major problem of chanifa l'rishon. There's a whole sugi in Soita about the seriousness, and the Rabbeinu Yoyin and the Shari Tshuva is a whole section about the kat chanefim, the people of chanifa l'rishon. That in a certain sense this is a serious form of lifnei v'lesitei mirshom. It just encouraged the Russia to believe that there's nothing wrong with his way of life, and he can keep on, if he keeps on giving his annual support to your yeshiva, he'll go straight to Gan Eden. Nothing, that's the way they describe when they give him the testimony. Go straight to Gan Eden because he gives a few dollars to the yeshiva, which are peanuts. So this guy's concerned, a few dollars are meaningless. Why should he go to Gan Eden? What about all the averes that he did? How's he going to go to Gan Eden? So the Gemara then says, after a whole sugya, then the Gemara says, "Muta lahachnech rishoyim ba'olam hazeh." Ba'olam hazeh, you're permitted to chan for the rishoyim, as we find Yaakov Avinu is about to meet up with Esav. So he says, "Ko amar achicha Yaakov, your younger brother, I love you," and he's giving him a matane, "La'adoni li'Esav, my master Esav." He's chamfering him, buttering him up from the beginning to the end. So Taisus can't understand after a whole sugi of chanifa l'rishoyim, then the Gemara says, "Ba'olam hazeh it's muta." So when is it also? "Ba'olam haba." "Ba'olam emes." So the Gemara goes, "Ba'olam hazeh." So what does it mean, "muta l'hachnu l'rishoyim ba'olam hazeh"? It does make sense. The hemshech hasugya. So Taisus says, what it means is, "Ba'olam hazeh," if there's a circumstance of pikuach nefesh is derech kol atarkula, except for the gimel averus achamurois. Yaakov Avinu is afraid that Esav is going to kill him. He wants to kill him 22 years before, and he's still petrified. Maybe he still wants to kill him, and according to the tradition of Chazal, he did still want to kill him, and somehow his inner feelings were were prevented from coming out. It says Vayishakeyu, right? Vayichavkeyu, Vayishakeyu. Somehow his interest in killing Yankov didn't come to fruition. So Yankov really had what to be afraid of. So that's where the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Boilam Azeh means when there's a Sakonis Nefoshis, there's Muta Lahach Nefishoim Boilam Azeh. But Stam Chanif Lo Rishoim Staka Nat Muta. There's no Sakonis
Nefoshis.
I don't know. After the Gemara lays it on so thick about the seriousness of the Avera of Chanif Lo Rishoim that it's a violation of Lifnei Iver, so one might have thought that Kof Nefesh is not Deuche. Let's say if the fellow is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, Esav was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So maybe one might think that Techamfe Esav is an Abizrahu of Avodah Zarah. So then it's like Yehorik Val Yavar. So the Chiddush is that it's not considered an Abizrahu of Avodah Zarah. If he won't hear me, why am I praising him? The Gemara comments on the pasuk loisachanin. It's a difficult verb, loisachanin, in Chumash Dvarim. So the Gemara has three interpretations, and we accept all three levels of interpretation. So one of them is loisachain b'yeinecha, that you're not allowed to praise a nochri, even not from the Zayin Rumis. The Rambam says you're not allowed to praise a nochri who's an author of a book, or an athlete, or a movie star, or something like that. The Gemara tells the story that Rabbi Akiva saw this good-looking non-Jewish woman, so the Gemara says that he left, and he cried, and he spit. The Gemara tells the whole story, and then he said a bracha, because she was so good-looking, he said a bracha. So the Gemara says he left, that he saw Baruch HaKadosh, that she's going to convert, and he's going to marry her. Rabbi Akiva had three wives, one after the other, after the other. One was Rochel, the famous wife, and then he had another two wives. So one was a Gieris. He married a Gieris. So he left that he saw Baruch HaKadosh, she's going to convert and he's going to marry her. Then he cried, she was so good looking, and he saw Baruch HaKadosh, she's going to die before him, she's going to die at a younger age. And then he spit over the fact that she was so beautiful, Al Hai Shufa de Bali Biara. She was such a gorgeous woman, and she's going to be buried, she's going to die at a young age. Then the Gemara says that he said the bracha that you say when you see a very handsome person. So the Gemara says, he was praising a non-Jewish person. The Gemara says, no, you got to praise the Rabbanu Shalom for creating good-looking women in the world. You're not supposed to look. But the Gemara says he bumped into her. He didn't go to the movies to see her. He bumped into her walking in the street. So he saw how good-looking she was. So he said a blessing to the Rabbanu Shalom. But outside of saying a blessing to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so the Gemara says you're not supposed to praise anything that a Nachri does, even if it's something. The Rambam writes, more so if it's in the area of intelligence. You just praise the person that he's so good looking, such a good athlete. So what's so important about that? But if you praise the person that he wrote such a good book, that he's so intelligent and such a good teacher, so the Rambam says that's more of a prohibition, more of an issue. Why? Because the Rambam explains that human beings usually is very social, and they try to follow what other people are doing. So if you're going to praise this guy that is a wonderful professor or whatever, so you're going to be nimshach after his dais. It's a good problem. It's a big problem. We don't know. But the Rambam himself quotes these dinim that it's not permissible. I don't know.
You have to praise a rush of like the good things he does. Like you have to like let's say he's like a rush who's worth the yeshiva. But he's a big
boss
stuff. You don't mention the fact that, like, you know, all the other
things. That's where Moshe Feinstein says that's not permissible. He says that's exactly what the Gemara says, unless privately, you have to, maybe publicly, jokingly, and have to say, someday you're going to be learning with us also. And privately, you got to tell him also that he has to shape up a little bit. But if you don't say anything, not in public, not in private, about the fact that he's not leading a proper Jewish life, you just praise him, he's going to go straight to Gan Eden. So that's Lifnei Iver, that you're misleading him into believing that he's really going to go to Gan Eden for doing all the Averas. And he's going to leave everything the way it is.
What about you when they're not there anymore, so it's not going to Lifnei
Iver because they're not here? Yeah, okay. In the eulogy, it says you're not supposed to say Bizyonis, you're not supposed to be involved with the person. It says you're allowed to praise a person even in a slightly exaggerated form. Okay. Okay. The pasuk is very remarkable. Why was Yaakov Avinu afraid of Esau? Yaakov Avinu says, Tariag Mitzvah Shamarti, he was keeping all the mitzvahs. The brother Esau was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So Yaakov Avinu didn't think that he had more schusim than the brother. So there's a famous medrash that says that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of the fact that his brother was in fulfillment of two mitzvahs that he didn't do. One was Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. The brother was living in Eretz Yisrael for the last 22 years and he was not. Even though the brother was not religious, but still, self-kosef, he was living in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, the brother was Meshamish, the father, Kibirav. And he was not. He wasn't around. He wasn't able to. But bottom line, Yaakov Avinu was missing these two mitzvahs. So he was afraid that the schus of these two mitzvahs, of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael and Kibud Aviyim, may outweigh all of the schusim that he had. The mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim is a very neglected mitzvah. The Tanoim and the Amoraim all say in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, it's very hard to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Aviyim. Abai was an orphan from both parents. His father died before he was born and the mother died at childbirth. He had no parents. He was raised by his uncle, by Rabbo. And he, Gemara quotes a statement that he says how fortunate he is that he didn't have any soyan, fortunate that he had no parents. He's also fortunate that he didn't have to violate Kibud Aviyim, which most people who do have parents are negligent about. I belong to the parents' union, so this is a paid advertisement. No, this is a din in the Torah. This is a din of Kibud Aviyim. The din in Aseres Adibas, believe it or not. It's even noig b'zman hazeh min haTorah. One of the few mitzvahs deraisa that we still have. So many mitzvahs deraisa. From the 613 mitzvahs, there aren't too many left. If you live in America, not too many. Kibud Aviyim is from the top 10 of Aseres Adibas. It's there on the top of the list. Kibud Aviyim. In fact, we haven't today said with the mitzvah of Gidon Osher. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu had a fight with someone who broke his leg, and then it says because of this incident, Al Kain LeYochum and Esau's Gidon Osher. That's why the children of Yaakov Avinu don't need the Gidon Osher. Why is Al Kain? In order to remember that story. What's so significant about remembering that story? So here for the Rishonim interpret, we should remember the zilzul of Kibud Aviyim. A man is 85 years old, according to the tradition of the Gemara. Rashi makes a cheshbon, Yaakov Avinu was 85 years old, and he had 11 children who were teenagers, and they leave the old man all by himself to carry all the valises, to schlep all the packages, and they go to sleep while they're watching television. Something like that. Why didn't they schlep all the packages? Why didn't they help him? If they would have been with the father, he wouldn't have been mugged. This Vayovik Yishima wouldn't have happened. So they realized that they were negligent, that because they were mezalzel and keep it up, that's why the father had a broken leg. So Al-Kain L'yachim and Esau's Gidon Osher as a kapara, they decided that they're going to accept upon themselves never to eat the Gidon Osher, to remember the way they were inviolate, to remember the way they were mezalzel and keep it up. And the father was hurt because of that. That's what some of the Rishonim interpret in the pasuk. Akein leYochel b'nei Yisrael, the children of Yaakov Avinu accepted upon themselves not to eat Gidon Osher. Others interpret differently. The other Rishonim interpret differently. Akein leYochel b'nei Yisrael Gidon Osher, a different thing. That the Rashi quotes a tradition from the Medrash by Yayovik Ish Imo, the Ish was a Malach, and Yaakov was wrestling with the Malach, and who won the wrestling match. So in the pasuk, it's a little bit unclear, but the Novi, in last week's after, the Novi says, Vayasal Malach Vayuchalo. It says that he was fighting with an angel, and Yaakov Avinu beat the angel. When Yaakov Avinu beat out the angel saw he's not going to get out of this lock that he held him in, unless he's going to break his leg. So he broke his leg and he ran away. But the Navi sounds like the Navi is interpreting the Pshat in the Chumash that Yaakov Avinu won the fight against the Malach. What is that? What idea does that represent? So the Rishonim all say that Yaakov represents Klal Yisrael and the Malach represents Teva, Olam HaTeva, because the Gemara has an expression in Chulin in the first parak, Ein Lecho Kalesa V'Yesev Melamato, every blade of grass that grows on this earth has a Malach Melmaila Hamaka Osa V'Omalo Gadel. The malachim, a lot of times when the Chazal speak about malachim, the Rambam says there are 10 different types of malachim, 10 different categories of malachim. He writes in Hilchos Yisrei Atar. So sometimes the term malach just means chukei teva. The Rabbanu Shalom has rules and regulations of chukei teva. So Yankif fighting with the malach and winning represents the idea of ein mazel Yisrael. that the Jewish people are not tachas shlita sakachov mahamazolus. The Klal Yisrael are lemaila min ha-teva. As the Pesukim say, I think also on last week's after, the Pesukim say that the Ummah Yisraelim have not succeeded in, they succeed in killing individual Jews, but they have not succeeded in wiping out the Jewish nation. When we're put into a furnace to burn us, we will survive. Avraham Avinu survives the Kivshan Ho'esh, and after the Holocaust, he would have thought that there wouldn't be any Jews left in the world. So all the yeshivas are picking up, learning is picking up, and the Jews are having, the families are having 15 children each. The Jews are rebuilding themselves. And when we go b'mayim, the Jews are not drowned. Individual Jews are drowned, but the Jewish people is not drowned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish nation will survive despite all of the odds against us. That's the klal of Ein Mazal Yisrael. The Jewish people is not tachas shlita sakachov mahazolus. We are lemaila min ha-teva. So that's represented by this idea that Yankov fights with the Malach and Yankov wins. Yankov wins against Yankov, representing Klal Yisrael, wins with the fight against Teva, that we are lemaila min ha-teva. So that's what most of the Rishonim say. Akein lo yochel b'nei Yisrael es gidon nasha means that b'nei Yisrael don't eat gidon nasha. You remember this ikar in Emunah. Ramban and Chumash writes in a few places that he considers this one of the ikari of Emunah. That ain't mazal Yisrael. He says, does it make sense in any scientific fashion whatsoever that if the Jews observe the laws of Shemitah, then they'll remain in Eretz Yisrael, and if they violate Shemitah, then they'll lose the land? B'derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense. If you keep the mitzvahs, the rain will come. If you don't keep the mitzvahs, it will not rain. There's no scientific explanation for that. So the Ramban says, that's correct. There is no scientific explanation. The explanation is that Klal Yisrael is lemaila min ha-teva. Our history is different from that of all the other nations of the world. History of the other nations can be, if you understand the rules and regulations of history, like if you know chemistry well, and you mix two chemicals, you can predict in advance what the outcome is going to be. It's going to turn green. It's going to flare up, or it's going to, whatever, it's going to break, it's going to explode. If you know chemistry, you can predict in advance. If you know medicine, you can predict in advance. Person has a sickness, you can tell them what's going to happen, what's going to happen next, what's going to be the further development. And if you know history, well, you can predict in advance what's going to happen in history. There was an essay that was printed years before Pearl Harbor, where one of the analysts predicted that said in another 15 years or something, the Japanese will attack the Americans on a early Sunday morning in December? December 4th. And he explained why. He said because it's going to take 15 years till it'll be up to it, and the Japanese always make a surprise attack, and the nights are longest in December, and the American soldiers always drink. They always stay up late Saturday night, they shikar zechan, and they wake up late Sunday morning. So if you want to have the best surprise attack, it's going to be a Sunday morning in December. And that's what happened. Not because the Japanese read his book and they followed instructions. No, because he predicted correctly. He understood history and he analyzed it properly. So Ramban writes on Chumash, if a person understands history well, like if a person understands chemistry well, if you understand mathematics well, you can predict. If you add two and two, it's going to be four. You don't need so much depth for that. 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 and 4 is 8, etc., etc. So if a person understands any given science, any given discipline, so he can predict in advance, based on that discipline, what's going to be. So all of the history of the world is also the rules and regulations. If you understand well the rules, you can predict the rise and fall of any given country or government or whatever. Except the Ramban, except for the Jewish history. Jewish history is a zigzag chart. It's not rise and fall. Goes up and down, depending. When they do mitzvahs, it goes up. When they do averus, it goes down. That's an ikar et emunah, he says. It ain't mazal Yisrael. Ayotze osa hachutza. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, tzei mi itztagnina sholcha. That we are lemaila min ha-teva. So that's supposed to be the idea that's represented by the Giron Asher. That Yankov, representing Klal Yisrael, wins in the fight against the teva. The Mishnah in Chulin in Perigin Anasha has a machlekes satanaim whether the mitzvah of Gin Anasha began with the Bnei Yaakov or it only began after Matan Torah. So Taisus learns the Pshat Kipshuto that the one Tana says that it was given right away. Alkein Leyechol Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu didn't eat Gin Anasha, and ever since we are observing that mitzvah. And the other Tana says no. B'nai Yisrael means the Jewish. B'nai Yisrael means the Jewish people, and that wasn't given till after Matan Torah. But the reason that that pasuk is written here is that we should know the historical background of the mitzvah, what it represents. But the mitzvah, the tzivui of Gidon Asher, didn't begin at this time at all. It only began later. This is why Tosfos understands the machlokes Hatanai. Machlokes is the machlokes that's nageh lehalacha, where the Gidon Asher applies to non-kosher animals. If you eat the Gidon Asher of a non-kosher animal, is there an issur Gidon Asher? So one Tana says that the prohibition of Gidon Asher began right away, Kodesh Matan Torah, before there was an institution of non-kosher animals. So at the time that it was given, it applied to all the animals, kosher and non-kosher. They were allowed to eat all the animals. So just at Matan Torah, that all of a sudden you're restricted, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher animals, and now the issur Gidon Asher shouldn't apply. It already applied from the days of Yaakov Avinu, it applied to the non-kosher animals. But the other Tanu says, no, the Gidon Asher was only given in Har Sinai, so it was given together with the laws of Kashrus. So it's understood that Gidon Asher only applies if the rest of the animal is kosher. You have to rip out the Gidon Asher. The whole animal is treif, and so you don't have a new additional prohibition on the Gidon Asher. That's the Nafkemin al Aloch and the Machloikes HaTanoim. The Rambam does not understand like this. The Rambam, both in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Perek Gidon Asher and Chulin, as well as in the Mishnah Torah, understands differently. He says L'chol HaDeis, the mitzvah Gidon Asher began take it from Yad, because he quotes in Hilchas Melochim, he quotes a Medrash, a Bereishis Rabbah, that says that Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, Bris Milah, but it gives the history of the development of the Taryag mitzvah. Originally, there were six mitzvahs, because Adam Rishon was not allowed to eat meat. He had to be a vegetarian. And after the Mabul, when Noach was given permission to eat meat, Kiyar Keis, from the Sata Lachem is called, just like he eats fruits and vegetables, now he's allowed to eat meat also. So he was told he's not allowed to eat Achbasa B'davsha, Domalo Sechel. He's not allowed to eat Eiv Menachai. So the Rambam writes, originally there were six mitzvahs, and then there became seven. The mitzvah of Eiv Menachai was given. That's why we call the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Why don't we call the seven mitzvahs Adam Rishon? B'nei Adam Rishon, because Adam Rishon was only given six. And Noach was given the seventh, so we call the mitzvahs of B'nei Noach. And then this is the way it was until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Bris Milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Hafrashas Maisris. That it says that when Vayiro Boretz Melvada Rabsha Harishana Shehayab Me Avraham, when there was a famine, so it says Vayerid Yitzchak El Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerora, he was going down on his way to go to Egypt, like his father Avraham Avinu had done Bimei Harov Harishon. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, you have to stay here. So it says that he's an Oyla Tmima, he's not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. So he planted in Eretz Plishtim, Vayizra Shom Ba'ashon Ahayi, Vayimtza Me'er Sho'arim, Vayivarcheu Hashem. He got 100 times as much as he expected to get. Me'er Sho'arim, 100 times as much as he thought. Why was he counting his eggs before they hatched? Why was he estimating how much is going to grow? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he made an Omed Lemaisris. He was calculating how many bushels of Tvua does he think are going to grow, and how much Maisris is he going to give. And it turned out that he was wrong. It was 100 times more than he thought it was going to be. But you see from this Medrash that Yitzchak was given the opportunity to be Mafrish Maisris. If we would be Mafrish Maisris in America, nothing would be Chal. You can't just volunteer as an Enem Mitzvah to do whatever you don't please. You can't Mafrish Maisris from the tape recorders, from the Svarim. There's no such thing as Afrosh's Maisa. So Yitzchak was given a mitzvah. He wasn't, we don't get the impression that he was obligated to be Mafrish Maisa, but he was given the opportunity. If it'll be Mafrish Maisa, it'll be Chal. Then the Rambam quotes the Medrash, the Bereishis Rabba, that Yaakov Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Gidon Asher. Each one of the others was given a mitzvah. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milo, and he says that he instituted Tfilah Shachris. And Yitzchak was given the inyan of Yitzchak Hifrish Maisa. He didn't say Yitzchak went in Tabala Maisris, just says Yitzchak Kifrish Maisris, and he instituted Tfilas Mincha. And Yankov was Nitztaba Al Gidon Asher, and he introduced Tfilas Arvis. What is the, just parenthetically, what is the Medrash driving at? What is it trying to bring out? The Rav Soloveitchik interpreted, he thought that the Medrash is trying to say the following, that we see in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with each one of the others. Zachat is B'si Yaakov, Ve'ach is B'si Yitzchak, Ve'ach is B'si Avraham Eskor. Each one of the others, he made a bris. A bris usually means they make a Kedushas Yisrael. You and that, we have a Kedushas bris with our Kedush Baruch, and so we have a Kedushas Yisrael. So it's mashma a little bit from the Pesukim that Avraham Avinu had a Kedushas Yisrael, and Yitzchak sounds like he had a more intense Kedushas Yisrael. Otherwise, what he'd need another bris? The same bris with Avraham Avinu, perpetuated by his children and his grandchildren. So the answer is that Yitzchak was given additional mitzvahs, so his Kedushas Yisrael was more intense. And Yaakov Avinu was given additional mitzvahs, so his kedushis is always more intense. So that's what the Medrash Rabbah tries to figure out, which mitzvahs did Yitzchak have that Yaakov didn't have, which additional mitzvahs did Yitzchak that Avram didn't have, and what did Yaakov get that Yitzchak didn't have. So that's what the Medrash says. No, they had their rices and their rabbanos. Avram Avinu had Mila and Idav and Shachris. Yitzchak had Mincha. Yitzchak had Maisris, and he made a takana de rabbanon of Mincha. And Yaakov was giving Gidan Nash, and he made a takana de rabbanon of Maisris. Each one had a deeper kedushas Israel, because each one was given an additional mitzvah. That's why Kodesh Baruch made a bris with each one of the others. So the Rambam understands. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Malachim that the tzivui, the mitzvah of Gidan Nash, was given to Yaakov Avinu. And nonetheless, the Rambam quotes this other Mishnah from Perek Yidan Osh and Chulin, that the true Yaakov was Nitztava on Yidan Osh, but the fact that we today continue to observe the mitzvah of Yidan Osh is not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, but rather because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Perek Yidan Osh has a long paragraph about this, a whole essay, where he explains what he's driving at. Avram Avinu was Nitztava Mila, but he says he wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever he was, Nitztava is only going to be a Hirah Shor. It not, can't be of a lasting nature. The fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah of Mila is not because Avram Avinu was Nitztava, but rather because Moshe Rabbeinu was Nitztava at Har Sinai. The mitzvah is repeated in Chumash and Parshas Tazria. So our obligation to fulfill Mila, the Rambam writes, same as Gidan Osha, is not because it was given to Avram, and not because Gidan Osher was given to Yaakov, but rather because it was repeated at Har Sinai. So this is a big yesod in the Rambam. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNeviim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was ever given a mitzvah which is Noheges L'Doros. The other Neviim were given a Nevuah. Nevuah by definition means Ohai Rashua. That's exactly the difference between Nevuah and a mitzvah. Rashi writes in his commentary on Chumash, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Ein Lashon Tzav, Lashon Ziris Miyad Uladaris. That the word Tzivui, Mitzvah, Tzav, means an obligation that applies throughout all the future generations. And that's all Pipashtas, what the Rambam postulates in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, La Rama. The Gemara says in many places that there were 613 mitzvahs. So the Rishonim and the Goyim had a problem. There are millions of mitzvahs. How do you take millions of mitzvahs and shrink them into 613? So the Rambam has a whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gives you the 14 klolim, the 14 sharoshim that guide him in determining what should be counted and what not. So the Rambam has as one of the sharoshim, one of the guiding principles is that you only count the mitzvah which is noheges l'doros. Mitzvah which is only hayrashah is not really a mitzvah. Ein loshen zav and loshen ziris miyad l'doros. So this cuts out already a lot of dinim. Not to leave over mon overnight. That was only hayrashah for the 40 years of the midbar, and to knock on the next door neighbor's doors and erev Pesach and to ask for matonis before Yitzias Mitzrayim. There was only once in the history of the world. And harmis matchal ayam of koeu to do kriyas yamsuf and do all the other. There are many psukim nechumish that don't belong in the sefer mitzvah. Taka not there because they're only hayrashah. And there is every so often there's a pasuk where there's a machlekes or rishayim. Was that only hayrashah? Is that a mitzvah that there? So if it's only hayrashah, it doesn't belong in the listing of the tariq mitzvahs. If it's a din l'doros, then it does belong. So that's really the point that the Rambam is bringing out over here, that the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvahs of Mila and of Gidan Osher is not at all because it was given to Avraham Avinu or to Yaakov Avinu. As great a tzaddik as they were, as great as a Navi as they were, but the only one who was the Adon HaNeviim, the only one who got Torah mitzvahs was Moshe Rabbeinu. The others were only given the Vuot. So these tzivuim had to be repeated at Har Sinai in order to make it binding throughout all the future generations. Soloveitchik writes in one of his printed essays that there's an idea that's subscribed to by both Rab Chaim Volozhiner in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim and the first Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Sefer of the Tanya. 99% they say the same on everything. They're just a small point in Kabbalah where they disagree with each other. So one of the 99% of things that they both say the same is about this. Why do we adopt the position, why are the Orthodox so obstinate on this point? Shazal Satar Losehim Mochlefes, Losehim Tarachas, Meis HaBoyri, Yisbarach Shema. The Rambam has 13 Ikori HaMuna, So one of them is that the laws of the Torah are immutable. The laws can never change. Why can't the laws change? We have the American Constitution, and every so often the Congress changes the laws. Every state has its system of laws, and they change the laws. So what's so bad? Why doesn't it make sense that the Ribbono Shel Olam should decide to change his laws? So they both explain why. We live in a changing world, so a lot of times the psak will be different because the shaila is a different shaila. The Shulchan Aruch stays the same, but do you apply Sif Aleph, Sif Beis, Sif Gimel, Sif Dalet? So that depends on what the circumstances are. So a lot of times the psak is changing because the shaila is different, because the mitzvah is different, but the system of laws stays the same. The halachas stay the same. So why did the halachas have to stay the same? What would be so terrible if the halachas would change? So the Bala Tanya and Rav Chaim Volozhin have both explained the same thing based on the Zohar, and then they say it says in the Gemara also. The Zohar has a statement, has an expression, Pikudin, the mitzvahs in and evar in the Malka. These are the limbs of the king. It means that all of the mitzvahs put together give you a picture of Elokus. The mitzvahs are mitzvahs. The mitzvah says it means you got to do them. You have to shake a lulav and you have to say krishma and you have to keep Shabbos. And the mitzvahs loy sesei really mean you're not allowed to do these averes. They're not just concepts. They're actual mitzvahs loy sesei that have to be observed. But in addition to being obligations that you have to do and you're not allowed to violate, they also add up to a sum total picture of Elokus. It's a mashal of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is like. It's not a direct mashal. A direct mashal we wouldn't understand if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us a description, a very sharp, clear-cut description of definition of Elokus. We wouldn't understand one word. That's what the Kuzari has and others from the Middle Ages write such a similar expression. Ili yidaiti v'hayisiv. If I would understand Elokus, I would be God himself. The only one who really understands the essence of Elokus is HaKadosh Baruch himself. So HaKadosh Baruch cannot give us a description, a real full-fledged description of Elokus. We wouldn't understand one word. E equals, Elokus equals MC squared. So you understand what Elokus is? We wouldn't understand. So he gave a mashal. If you would give a mashal, we wouldn't understand either. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says he gave us a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. That's the Medrash says when Rabbi Kiva once came to shul for Mincha Ma'ariv, so the Balabatma had to wait 5 minutes to daven Ma'ariv till his man. So he said, Rabbi, maybe give us a mini shia for 5 minutes. So he said, I'm not prepared. So he said, Rabbi, you sit and learn the whole day, just tell us something that you learn. He says, no, I'm not prepared, I have to prepare. To say a shia, you have to prepare. And he said, when the Ribbono Shel Olam was about to give the Torah HaSinai, so the Pasuk says in Iyov, Elokim Chakora veGamda Rosha Techina Chakora. He prepared for Maimon HaSinai. So from there we learn out that before this is quoted in the Beis Yosef and Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, that the Balkari has to go over the Sedra Machlokes did it 3 times or 4 times, 2 versions in the Medrash. How many times he has to go over? And the Rebbe before he says a Shir is supposed to also prepare either 3 times or 4 times. Not all Rabbein prepare so much. Used to be a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, never used to prepare. So the Menayel of the Yeshiva always used to complain that the students say he never prepares. So he said, no, he wants to teach the students how to make a lenum. So he has to come in cold, has to come in, doesn't know which masechta we're up to. He's teaching them how to make a lenum. Namish on the spot. You can teach how to make a lenum by preparing also. You can put on an act as if you're not prepared. So he said, I remember years ago, 30 years ago, they told a story about the Blazer Shach. That once he got up in the yeshiva and he said Ashir Kloli, and then after 35 minutes he stopped. He says up until here he prepared 4 times, and from here on he only prepared 3 times. He's not allowed to say the Shir. So some are more medactic than others. Okay. I used to have a chavrusa. He knew the whole Chumash Baal Peh. So whenever he had a lane on Shabbos, as he would be walking from his home to the shul, he would be saying, I remember Vayishlach Tanke. He was once saying Vayishlach by heart as we were walking together in the street. And he said it like that. He said, that's against halacha. He's supposed to prepare 3-4 times. My legs are 3 times or 4 times. Supposed to prepare. So Rav Chaim Volozhin talks about this medrash. What do you mean the Ribbono Shel Olam had to prepare? What does that mean the Ribbono Shel Olam had to prepare before he gave the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't? Okay, Rabbi Akiva is a boss of a dog. What does it mean the Ribbono Shel Olam had to prepare before he gave the Torah? So he says, Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would give a full description of Elokus, that's what it means. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, the word Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Anochi is the Rosh Tevis, Ano Navshi Ksovis Yehovis. I have written down my essence and I gave it over to you. Ribbono Shel Olam wrote down the whole Torah and he gave us a description of his essence. Ano nafshi k'tovis yehovis. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, if he would give us a full description of Elikus, we wouldn't understand one word. If he would give us a mashal, we wouldn't understand the mashal either. He had to give us a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. He had to lower the level of the Torah to a mashal of a mashal. And now, it was presented to us in such a way that we have all of these mitzvahs, and the concepts represented by these mitzvahs represent different aspects of Elikus. And that's the meaning of that passage in the Zohar that says that Tikudin, all of the mitzvahs, Inan Evarim de Malkut. These are the limbs of the king. Means that this is a description of Elikus. That's assumed. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim, that's assumed to be the pshat in the Ramban and the Hakdama to the Pirush and Chumash. But the Ramban writes, I call it Torah Kula Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean the whole Torah Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Means it's a description of Elikus. When you say Hashem, you say this is a tape recorder, this is a pair of glasses, this is a Chumash, this is a table, this is a chair, that's a ceiling. When you say what it is, the shame, so you're describing it. Everybody can, even if a person closes his eyes, he can conjure up an image in his mind of what it's all about. So the Ramban writes, we have a tradition from Kabbalah sources that Kol HaTorah Kula is a description of Elikus. And where does it say it in the Gemara? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kamen kan the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekro Havagodel Elokeinu." That from that pasuk we derive that when one is about to learn Torah, he's obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah. Where do you see from the pasuk that one is about to learn Torah? Kishem Hashem Ekro Havagodel Elokeinu. The Gemara has another interpretation. When you hear the Kohen Gadol say the Shem Amfarish, you have to bow down and you have to scream out, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Aliyah Avod. Okay, Kishem Hashem Ekra. When you call out in the name of God, you give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you see in the Pasuk when you're learning Torah that you have to say Birchas HaTorah in advance? So the Maharsha and the Chedush HaGadol and that Gemara Brachas comments, that's what the Ramban said. Kol HaTorah Kula Shmois of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kishem Hashem Ekra means when I'm about to discuss the essence of Elikus, when I'm about to learn Torah, we have an obligation to recite Birchas HaTorah. And that's the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Shem Olam that that's probably the meaning of the Medrash that Rashi quotes on Parshas Mishpatim. The Pasuk says that if a person kills B'mezitz, he gets the death penalty. If a person kills B'shegi, he has to run away to the Yorei Miklot. So why is he punished with this? He killed the Shogeg, it's not his fault. Why does he have to run away to the Yorei Miklot? So it says, why have to run away? What did I do? I'm just a tool in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do I have to suffer? I have to stop my whole business for a couple of years and run away to the Mikla until the Gadol dies. What did I do? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that says the Megagolim, the Gemara has it, Megagolim schus ha'idei zaka v'choyv ha'idei chayv. Sometimes when the Ribbono Shel Olam wants good things to happen in the world, so he'll suspend the b'chirah chashus of a tzaddik and cause him to do the good activities in the world, and he'll go down in history as a great guy. He didn't necessarily have the freedom of choice to choose this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes suspends this B'chira Chavshis to force him to do it, because he wants history to develop in that direction. That's called Magagalim Schus Ayidei Zaka. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants dirty work to be done in the world, and he has to send the Shliach to do the dirty work. So he'll pick on a Rasha who's an evil person anyway, he'll suspend his B'chira Chavshis, and it'll cause him to do the terrible things in the world. Megaglam chayva ayidei chayv. So that's a pasuk in Navi that says Merishoyim teitzei resha. Pasuk says Kashirema hamashal hakadmoni, as the ancient proverb goes, Merishoyim teitzei resha. So that's what the Medrash says over here. How come I have to run away to the Ori Miklot if Elokim in Liyara Kodesh Baruch Hu caused me to fall down a ladder and hit this guy on the head and kill him? So it's not my fault. So why do I deserve a punishment? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, and the Gemara has the Medrash. Marshal Lishnei Bnei Adam, the guy, one of them really did an Aveira, he deserves the death penalty, but the courts never caught up with him. So Min HaShemayim, they're going to see to it that he should be on the ground. And I don't deserve the death penalty, I deserve a punishment for something else that I did. So they're going to cause me to fall on this guy. So he should get killed. So Minash Hashemayim, he's getting the punishment that he deserves. And I also deserve punishment for something else that I did. So now because, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Minash Hashemayim, I should fall on this person and kill him, an accident. So I have to run away to the Ari Miklot. I do need a kapora. It's not just for no reason that they picked me to be the Shliach Lerot, because this individual to die must be Megalgalim Chayvai Dechayim. Merishayim Yetzei Rashi. So that's where Rashi quotes that Medrash. Kasha Yoma on the Pasuk, Kasha Yoma HaMashal HaKadmoini, Merishayim Yetzei Rashi. So Rashi adds on, the Medrash adds on, what is the Mashal HaKadmoini? The Chumash. And the Pasuk, Merishayim Yetzei Rashi, is this Pasuk, Ve'alekim Min Aliyadu. Because the Pasuk says it was God's fault and I have to go to the Rai Miklot. So it means that God saw to it that I should be the Shliach Lerah to cause this person to die, but I deserve the punishment for previous mitzvahs and mice and tevim that I did, previous averis that I did. So now the punishment is that I go to the Rai Miklot. So why is this Pasuk, why is the Chumash referred to as the Moshal HaKadmon in the ancient proverb? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kadmon HaShalolim, he's the ancient one, with the capital A, he's the ancient one. And the Moshal HaKadmon is the Torah, Shehu Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmon HaShalolim. The Torah is Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So it doesn't really mean it's an ancient proverb. It does mean an ancient proverb. It means a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim writes in his Sefer Shem Olam, one of the small Svarim. He writes, it doesn't only mean that it's a mashal authored by God. No, it's a mashal of God. It's a mashal of the Kol HaTorah Kula is a description of Elokus. It's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, mashal ma'adav adayme, the Chofetz Chaim writes, like a photograph. If there's a person I never saw in real life, but I saw his photograph in the newspaper, so if I'd be walking in the streets, I'd be able to identify him based on the photograph, because he's going to look similar to the photograph. So too, the whole Chumash, from the beginning to the end, is a description of Elokus. So the Torah is a mashal, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only a mashal authored by God, a mashal by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why, that's what the Nefesh HaChaim and the Tanya both say, that the reason why the Rambam insists on this Iker, in Amunah, Zos HaTar Losi Mochlefes, is because the Navi tells us, the Navi Malachi says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, v'atem b'nei yankiv lo chilisim, that God's essence does not change. The world that he created is subject to change. And HaKadosh Baruch himself is not subject to change. So if God's essence doesn't change, then the Torah cannot change. If the Torah were merely a collection of mitzvahs, you have to perform these mitzvahs, you're not permitted to violate these mitzvahs, so there wouldn't be any reason why it shouldn't be subject to change. Why shouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, in a different generation, do differently? But because we believe that the Torah is something much more than that, the Torah certainly is a collection of mitzvahs and isurim, mitzvahs and mitzvahs lesesa, but it's something more than that. Kol HaTorah Kula is a description of Elokus, and Elokus is not subject to change. So that's why all the mitzvahs in the Torah are also not subject to change. And this is the significance of what the Rambam is bringing out by the mitzvah of Giran Asher. He says that Mila and Giran Asher today are observed. He interprets the Mishnah saying this. We today continue to observe Mila and Giran Asher, not because they were given to Avraham Avinu, not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu. The other Nevi'im outside of Moshe Rabbeinu were only given Nevuas. Nevuah by definition means Hayru Asher. The only one who was given mitzvah, the only one who was given a full description of Elokus was Moshe Rabbeinu. The other saw glimpses here and there. The only one who's given a full description of Elokus, which is not subject to change and which is binding throughout all the generations, is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's Al Pi Pashtus, the meaning of the pasuk in Bahalo Ischa that describes the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam writes that there were four differences between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other Nevi'im, based on the Pesukim in Chumash. And that's why he calls Moshe Rabbeinu the Adon HaNevim. So the Pasuk describes the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Usmunas Hashem Yabit. He saw the image of God. What do you mean he saw the image of God? God doesn't have any image. The Rambam counts as one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah, that God doesn't have any body, doesn't have any physical features. And the Rambam thinks that one who believes that God has a physical body is an apikoros. It's in violation of one of the Ikar Emunah. At the time that the Rambam wrote it, many Balei HaTosafot held him as an apikoros because it was against Tanakh. They were burning Sifri HaRambam because of that statement that God has no body. Today, by now, the Bali Atesis have come to the realization that the Rambam is right, that the Baruch Shalom has no body. It says, Yad Hashem, and Af Hashem, and Ragli Hashem, and everything, any Hashem, these are all melitzas, it doesn't really mean it. So what does it mean that the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is, Usmunas Hashem Yabit, he saw the image of God. So that's what it means. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who saw a full picture of Elokus, a mashal. He was the only one to whom the Taryag mitzvahs were given. The other ones were only given Nevuah. Nevuah means Hayruah Shor. The only one who was given the full description of Elokus, which means Kol HaTorah Kula, Shmoy Sev Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, the description of Elokus, was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a Rav Soloveitchik Farem for the Kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has a Kasha. The Gemara points out there is a din that Oibal Divrei Novi is Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. One who violates Tzibi HaNovi is going to be punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. Misa B'dei Shamayim is considered a little lower punishment than Koris. The Gemara says in the end of Moed Kotten, Koris, he died at the age of 50, unless there are other considerations, and Misa B'dei Shamayim died at the age of 60. That's 10 years longer. The Avner Miluin points out that the Yerushalmi holds Raker, that Misa B'dei Shamayim is Mocham and then Koris, but the Bavli in the end of Le'ez Daf Moed Kotten presents it this way, that Koris is considered Mocham. So the Gemara gives a brief list in Sanhedrin and Daf Pedalik, Gemara quotes at Tosefta, a brief list of Elu Sheb Misa. The following Averis are punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. The list is a very short list. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with a kasha. Anyone who violates any one of the Taryag Mitzvahs HaTorah should be considered Oivad Divrei Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, he made it up on his own. He said it b'nevuah. When he said you have to wake up in the morning and say Krishna Bismana, he's making it up. He's saying it b'nevuah. So whoever violates any one of the Mitzvahs HaTorah is Oivad Divrei Novi Chaim Misa B'dei Shamayim. So what do you give such a short list? Whoever violates any din derayis is Oivad Divrei Novi, is automatically Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's the kash of the Minchas Chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch has a teretz based on an expression that Rashi uses in the Mishnah. In his Pirush on Mishnayis on Sanhedrin, Rashi writes, Oibad Nivrei Dovi, he writes, he's mevater, he's mezalzel. He makes fun of the whole story. But if he listens, he knows that there's an Issa Lashon Hara. We all know, but we just can't control our the desire is so great. Such a juicy piece of Lashon Hara, you have to listen, you have to... I'm not Mekabel. Okay, let's go. I'm not Mekabel. Let me hear. Oh, you just can't control yourself. Mamish b'kuach nefesh, I'll die if I don't say this juicy piece of Lashon Hara. Everybody, we know it's not permissible. We know it's an aver, but we don't control ourselves. So he said that's not called Oivad Divrei Novi. He said based on Rashi, Oivad Divrei Novi means he said, yeah, I'm never going to listen to this. But if in principle he subscribes to the Divrei Novi, just he can't control his desire to violate it, so he thinks maybe that's not considered Oivad Divrei Novi. That's the teretz that Minchas Chinuch has, based on Rashi's Loshen in Sanhedrin. The Ragatshava has another teretz on the Kashyip. He quotes us Asifrei on the din of Zoken Mamre, that Zoken Mamre, who is in violation of the psak of the Bez Nagol, is Chai Misa, only Asher Yishmael Divrei to the words of the Bez Nagol, only if he heard directly from the Bez Nagol. If they printed it in the newspapers and he violated the shock, so the Sifrei says there's no din of Zoken Mamre, only if he heard directly. So the Ragatshava suggests maybe Oivad Divrei Novi only applied to the Dor HaMidbar. Whoever heard it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Oivad Divrei Novi. Those who live in the later generation, we weren't there when Moshe Rabbeinu said it, even though you're in violation of Nevuah, but you're not Oivad Divrei HaNovi. We didn't hear it directly from the Novi. He thinks that's the way out. That's the teretz, why there's no Misa V'dei Shamayim. But today, the generally accepted teretz is the teretz that Rav Soloveitchik said many years ago. And that became standard. Now, everybody writes, this is the teretz. He said the teretz is that the kasha is based on a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Half of what he said was B'toris HaRosh Shor. And much of what he said was B'toris HaRosh Shor. And most of what he said was B'toris Dinim L'Doris. Oivad Divrei Novi only doesn't apply whenever a Navi tells you something. No. Whenever Adami tells you to do a Dvar Nevuah, which means by definition a Hayruah Shor, but if you have Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon Hanabim tells you to observe mitzvahs, that's already Mochomer, that's not in the category of Oivad Divrei Novi, that's Torah mitzvahs already. So that has other rules and regulations. When is it Malkus, and when is it Misa, and when is it Koris, and when is it Misa B'dei Shamayim? You have a whole series of rules and regulations. You don't say that everything in Torah mitzvahs is considered Oivad Divrei Novi. No, Oivad Divrei Novi only applies to Dvar Nevuah, which by definition is a Hayruah Shor. So this is all part of what the Rambam writes in his essay in Pirush HaMishnayos on Gid Anoshe. Why the Tanoim insisted, Machlokes Rav Yehuda and Chachamim, why the Tanoim insisted that Gid Anoshe must have been repeated later at Har Sinai? It couldn't be that we are prohibited to eat Gid Anoshe today because of the tzivur that was given to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was not Moshe Rabbeinu. He was not the Adon HaNaviim. The only one who gave Torah mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations was Moshe Rabbeinu. So the tzibur that was given to Yaakov Avinu was only Lohai Rasha. The tzibur that was repeated at Har Sinai, even though we don't have a pasuk in a Chumash, the Tanoim say it doesn't make a difference. Mitzvah Smila is repeated in Parshas Tazria, V'yom HaShmini Imo B'sar Alosa. But even though we don't have a second pasuk here for Gid Anoshe, the Tanoim and the Mishnah understand on their own it must have been repeated, otherwise it wouldn't be binding to them. That's the Bukudis of Machlokes, yeah. An Iker and Amuna. We assume the Iker is like the Chachamim against Rav Yehuda. That's what the Rambam says. Rav Yehuda says, not so. It was commanded to Yaakov, and it's still binding today out of Yom HaZeh because of the Tzibur to Yaakov. And supposedly, he would probably say the same by Mitzvah Smila, that we are today obligated to observe Mitzvah Smila because of the fact that it was commanded to Avraham Avinu. And the Rambam says, rule. That these Tzibuim are. The Rambam says that we follow the Chachamim, the Rav Yehuda, who say not so, not by Mila and not by Gid Anoshe. Fundamental machlokes. Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz has a sefer on Yeruvah that's called Crazy Placey. See, he writes in the Crazy Placey that somebody, when he speaks about Gid Anoshe, so he writes that some expert crackerjack told him that the Gid Anoshe is only found in the male animals in the species, in the Behemah Tohira. It doesn't apply to Oaf, it only applies to Behemah Vachayim. So he says it's only found in the males, it's not found in the females. So the place he writes, Apella, how can he say that? It's against the Smag. The Smag writes explicitly, Noig Bischarba Benikavis. So how can this expert say such a thing? So all the latest forum don't understand what the plastic effect akash. Noig b'schor b'kevis means that Jewish men and women are prohibited from eating Gid Anoshe, but it doesn't mean the animals. He's not talking about this expert, crackerjack, may be right, it may be wrong. It may be that he's wrong, but that's not what the smag. The smag is talking about nekevis. Jewish women are not permitted to eat Gid Anoshe, but he's not talking about female animals. Whether the Gid Anoshe exists in the leg of the female animal, that's a question of biology. Does the Gid Anoshe appear in the female species or not, or only in the male species? That's a famous strange place why he makes such a statement. The Gemara has a comment on the pasuk right after Yaakov survives his encounter with his brother Esau. So he approaches the city Shem, Vayava Yaakov Shalom Ir Shem, and then he has all the trouble with his daughter Dina. So that's what Rashi quotes the Medrash. Why did he have trouble with Dina? Because he was a little overcautious. He was afraid that Dina shouldn't even meet Esav, so he locked her up in a box and he nailed the box closed. Achada so yolodov. He hid Dina, so because he was overcautious, so that's why this was counterproductive. And what turned out was that she was leaving, she was taken away by a goy. She was attacked by a goy. We all have to be careful in raising our children. You have to be cautious, you have to be very cautious, but if a person is sometimes overcautious, this will often have the opposite result. A lot of times parents are so overcautious on their children, they don't allow any televisions, no radios, no televisions, nothing. And then once in a long while when the children visit by someone else, they never saw a television before. They sit and stay up all night long watching television, and then they fall in love with this, and then they're angry at the parents. Why the parents never told them such a thing as a television, never heard of a radio, and so on. So parents have to be careful not to be overcautious. You can't be undercautious either. You have to be careful to give you the exact chinuch that each child needs. Mesillas Hashem writes of Shloshan, Mina Zahirus, Shalol Hizor Yosemidan. Part of caution is not to be overcautious. Sometimes people exaggerate. That's ridiculous. But it's a little bit you have to be. So the pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu came to the city Shechem, Vayichan Aspnehu Yir. It's a strange pasuk. It's a very unclear what it means. Vayichan Aspnehu Yir. He camped on the outskirts of the city, opposite the city, facing the city. Vayichan Aspnehu Yir. So the Gemara has three levels of interpretation in Perek Lamamad Likin. The Gemara has three interpretations. Miloshen Chain, that he added Chain and charm to the city. So one level of interpretation, that he introduced them to the concept of having a monetary system, that they always used to have barter. But this guy which left Hamachlif Parah Bahamor, that's the only Mishnah that they do. Hamachlif Parah Bahamor is in Bogan Tzia Dabku. And he introduced to them monetary system, a checking system, and money. You don't have to schlep all the elephants and all the hamar and everything. You have a money system and checking system, and you streamline the business world. And then the Gemara says another level of interpretation. What else? What other charm did he add to the city? He introduced shopping malls. Instead of having to buy your meats over there, and you buy the groceries over there, and you buy the furniture over here, and you buy the automobiles over there, so you have a shopping mall. You have all the stores together in the same place. It's easier to go shopping. And then a third level of interpretation, the Gemara says that they had no good hygienic conditions. So he introduces to them the concept of bathing. He introduced Bote Mechatzos, Tikin Lev. Bote Mechatzos and Shvokim and the shopping malls and Matbeya, all of these wonderful things. So what the Chazal are telling us is that the Jewish people, Yaakov Avinu represents Klal Yisrael, so Jewish people have an obligation to participate in the world. We have to improve the situation of all of mankind. We have to take care of our particular needs. We're Jewish, but we're also human beings. So we have to take care of it with a proper proportion. You have to take care of the whole world, and you have to take care of the Jewish individual particular needs as well. But we shouldn't neglect the general needs of the whole society. We shouldn't say, well, the goyim will take care of all the medicine and all the science, and we'll just sit and learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. We have to somehow be in all of the fields at the same time. Pasuk says that as Yaakov Avinu was traveling, comes back there to Israel. Bayal me olav elokim b'makom asher diber ito, that the Shechina was resting on Yaakov Avinu. Shechina was sure on Yaakov Avinu, and then the Shechina went back to heaven. Bayal me olav elokim. So the Medrash comments on this pasuk. Ramban quotes this Medrash. They have such a similar pasuk by Avraham Avinu as well. So the Medrash comments on the pasuk, Ha'ovus hein hein ha'merkava. The Ovus, Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov are always a mokum for Hashuas Hashchina. This is a question in Ramban, in other essays, where he talks about this Medrash. Does this only refer to Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov? Those Ovus hein hein ha'merkava, or refers to all the tzaddikim. But in a certain sense, this refers particularly to the Ovos. The Ramban, in the introduction to Chumash Shmos, writes, the Chumash Shmos is the Sefer HaGolos VaHaGeula, the first Golos and the Geula Hemenu. So then he poses the question, though, but it wasn't the full Geula, because the Golos is that they left Eretz Yisrael. The Geula is when they returned back to Eretz Yisrael. They returned back to Eretz Yisrael till Sefer Yoshua. So how is it, even when you get to the end of Chumash Shmos, they're still not out of the Golus. They're still in the same Golus as before. So Ramban says wrong. The original state, the wonderful state, was the Soda Laka Aleo Halehem. He's quoting a Pasuk in Iyo, paraphrasing a Pasuk in Iyo. They had the Ashuas Hashchina and the Ovus. And then when they went into Golus Mitzrayim, they no longer had the special Ashuas Hashchina. And then at the end of Chumash Shmos, when they built the Mishkan, Ashuas Hashchina returned back again. That's called Geula. The definition of Geula is not returning back to Eretz Yisrael. We are back in Eretz Yisrael. There are Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. There are many Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael today. But it's still not Geula. That's the beginning. That's the Haskalah of a Geula. The Gemara of the Geula is when you build the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Ramban writes. And if you build the Beis HaMikdash and you live in Chutz Laretz, That's already Gula. That's the Gemara of the Gula. Gula means when you have a Beis HaMikdash, when you have Ashuras HaShechina with you, that you restored back to the original state of Soda Laka Aleo Halehem, like Obi Habayal Me'ol of Elakim, that all this Hein Hein HaMerkova. And the whole Maila of coming back to Eretz Yisrael is, as we spoke about last week, you come back to Eretz Yisrael with a sight towards the future that you're planning to build a Beis HaMikdash. If you don't plan to build a Beis HaMikdash, then you have no rights to control Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Pesukim say earlier in the Chumash, by Avraham and by Yitzchak. And here it's by Yankov also, that the whole Geula of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, the Maila is to restore back that Madrega of Soda Laka Aleya Halein. Okay. Thank you.